This is the old Trailblazer broadcast coming to you once again from the Metropolitan Tabernacle, 501 Opelousas Avenue here in old Algiers, New Orleans. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis speaking, the old Trailblazer, inviting you to stay tuned to hear another message from God's Word on what we call the old Trailblazer broadcast. Many of you have been hearing me now for a long time, and I wish you'd sit down right and let me know that you're listening. We've mentioned in our studies that we have a little pamphlet here that we put together on the things most surely believed by us here at Radio Missions and the old Trailblazer broadcast, and I'll be glad to send it to you. As I often say, I hear radio preachers, TV preachers, I don't ever hear them say what they preach and what they believe. They just go off on a tangent many times, speaking about this and that and the other, but it had no meaning to it. But we have a pamphlet made up of what we believe here. If you're interested in it, be glad to send it to you, free and postpaid. Remember, my mailing address is the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. We're bringing our study, or continuing our study, on the soon coming of our blessed Lord, and we're looking at this subject in particular, the fact of His coming, and also the certainty of His coming. We looking at those two thoughts, and we were looking there how that when the Lord comes back, there'll be a great shout. Yes, right. We saw there in where King David sat one day and meditated upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ back to earth again. And he was inspired to, no doubt, draw his fingers across a golden harp and sing in it in his most daring and exalted symbol. Let's listen to him. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world, and the people with equity. That's found in Psalms 98, 7 and 8. I wish you'd turn there and read it. Yes, David proclaimed to the world, the Lord is coming. He's coming again to reign, my friend, to reign upon this earth. From across the centuries comes the voice of the old prophet. And he seems to choose his choicest words when he speaks and portrays the second coming of our blessed Lord. Or I should say, the soon coming of our blessed Lord. The prophet Isaiah, looking down through the centuries, saw Jerusalem becoming the center or the capital of the new world. And he said, and many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God, the house of God of Jacob. And he shall teach us his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. This will take place when our Lord returns. Again, the old prophet saw the nations of the world at peace, their armies disbanded, war implements scrapped, and he cried out in these words, and he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up the sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. This will take place when our blessed Lord comes back to this earth. I wish that every radio listener would realize and could realize that great truth. Throw yourself completely upon the mercy of the Lord. Then the old prophet Micah announces very positively that when the Lord comes the second time, war shall cease. And men shall learn its ways no more. And each man shall sit under his own vine and fig tree, none daring to molest or to make afraid. From across the centuries there comes the voice of the old prophet Zechariah, who testifies that the Lord is coming, and that he cometh with all of his saints, and that his feet in that day shall stand upon the Mount of Olives, fulfilling that promise that this same Jesus that we spoke of, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. He went away from Mount Olivet. He will come back to Mount Olivet. One day his feet shall stand on the old Mount of Olives from whence he went away back to glory. Oh, my friend, this morning my cry is, Lord Jesus, come now. Come quickly. And then we open the book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. We do not see our Lord Jesus as a suffering servant, as a crucified one in his first coming, but we see him in his second coming as the Son of Righteousness, rising with healing in his wings. The greatest thing in this life, my friend, is to know Him and then to wait for Him from heaven. I often open my services here on Sunday morning with this statement. The greatest thing that can ever take place in the heart and life of any individual is to come to know the Lord. That's right. To come to know the Lord. And then I say the most tragical thing that ever can take place in your life or in any life is to be lost forever. To be lost forever, my friend. Would you just think about that with me a moment? Our Lord's coming back. Are you ready to go to be with Him? Are you ready for Him to snatch you up into the air and take you to be home, go home with Him? Or are you earthbound? I find so many of my folks here are earthbound. They're just earthbound. They're just bound down by the things of this life. They love this present evil world. Oh, they want to go to heaven when they die, eventually, but they want to live for the world. And they're not weaned from the world. Have you ever read that verse about a weaned child, my friend? Well, the Lord weans every child of God away from this world before He saves him. Oh, I know. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. That's right. When the New Testament opens, we see and we hear the voice of angels singing, announcing that the Messiah has been born. We see the wise men winding their way from the east, looking for the infant king, the child Jesus, the King of the Jews. Christ grows to manhood, as we all know, many of you know, and He walks over the Judean hills, along the shores of Galilee, up and down the streets of Jerusalem. We hear Him proclaiming, "I will come again." He speaks of His second coming in an open discourse. He tells His disciples, "I'm going away in a far country, but I'm coming back in an hour that you think not. It may be in the evening when the sun is sinking in the golden west. It may be at midnight when everything is hushed in sleep. It may be at the cock crowing in the wee hours of the night, or it may be in the morning dawn. But watch, for you know not what hour the Son of Man cometh." He is constantly saying, watch, be ready, for you know not what hour I may return. And as God's ambassador here, as God's messenger, that's my cry. Be ready, watch, for you know not when the Lord will come. My friend, you know not what hour you go to meet Him from this life. You know not what hour that's your time. The Bible says that the weapon of death is prepared for your death. The weapon is prepared, my friend. I know that, and I know, and I believe it. The Lord said it, and I believe it. And listen, then He compares His coming to that of the bridegroom who comes at midnight to meet the wedding or the waiting bride. Isn't that a beautiful picture? I'm privileged to perform wedding now and then, and I love to do that. And listen, but He cries unto them to be ready with your lamps all trim and burning, for you know not what hour I may arrive. But, my friend, there'll be no excuse when you wind up unsaved and lost, because the Lord has made every effort. The Lord has done everything there is to warn you of the coming of the Lord. I tell my folks here, the Lord doesn't make it so difficult that you can't get saved. I have folks who have sat a long time in unbelief, and I tell them, turn to the Lord. Even in your unbelief, turn to the Lord. Oh, listen, my friend, but the Lord's coming back. The Lord's coming. It may be in the blaze of morning or in the midnight darkness, but be ye ready as one who watches for the return of the Lord. Then again, our Lord declares He will come as the King of glory to sit upon the throne of His glory as Lord of lords and King of kings. I often tell my audience here, don't be petty in thinking about the Lord. Don't think small things when you're thinking of the Lord. Don't. Our generation that we live in now have brought the Lord down to their level, to our level, so to speak. All I hear is sweet Jesus. I hear folks on the radio talking about sweet Jesus. I hear pastors on the radio talking about, come on, trust Jesus. My friend, that name is the name of His humiliation. His name is Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, and before you ever get saved, before anyone ever gets saved, you will come to crown Him Lord of your life before you can come to Him. Now, my friend, I know what I'm talking about. And in the last discourse given to His disciples upon Mount Olivet, He tells them of multiplied wars, of famine and pestilence, shattering earthquakes, and false prophets, and deceitful workers, and then the distress of nations with men's heart failing them for fear. Now let's look at those things, my friend. Multiplied wars. We have that on every hand now. There's things going on all over this world. There's famine. Look at those, many of our third world countries. Look there. Oh, listen. Then pestilence. Pestilence. Oh, my friend, there's so much. And then the shattering earthquakes. All over this world. Everywhere they've got to be just common now. Earthquakes there in the Philippine Islands, there in Sicily, there in Mexico, there in Turkey, other places. And then we have false prophets. Oh, my friend, listen, false prophets. They are bound in the land today, taken away, as it were, all of God's glory. And then we have deceitful workers. Deceitful workers. Those who are blinded by Satan, and they're deceitful. They're deceived. They're followers. We have these folks on the radio and the TV who have nothing but money on their mind. Like the old fellow said, you watch the money. Follow the money, my friend. Now listen, he says, watch. I'll come as lightning that shines from the east to the west, and with all my holy angel, he declares, two will be in the bed. One shall be taken and the other left. Are you going to be that one that's left, my fellow friend? Are you? Two shall be in the field. Are you going to be that one that's left? Oh, my friend, I wish you'd think with me. I wish you'd think with me at this time. We're going to continue this study on our next lesson. But would you just let me take this minute or two I have left to implore you, to beg you, to plead with you, to ask the Lord to show you your heart that you might turn from your wicked ways. Show you if you're deceived. Are you deceived? Are you living on a false foundation? Do you like the old fellow had to go outside and pump up the old water pump every morning, prime the pump and pump it? Is that what it is when you have someone ask you to give your testimony? Can you stand up straight and say, Christ died for me? I was just an old sinner and Christ died for me. Can you say that? Or do you bumble and mumble and sputter and stutter and don't know anything to say? I tell you one thing, my friend. I've learned from experience. If the Lord's done anything for you, you can tell it. You can tell it. Now, I'm not talking about spouting off and sputtering and all that. I'm talking about quietly saying, you know, Pastor, the Lord died for this old sinner. The Lord died for me, Pastor. Isn't that grace? That's what I can say this morning. As the old trailblazer comes to a close pretty quickly, I can say the Lord died for me. He did. He died for me. He died for me to put my sins under His blood. He became my substitute. He became my surety, my advocate. He's my surety. You know what that means? He signed my bond. He paid my bond, my friend. And he has to give an account to God the Father for every one of His children. Did you know that? Because He stands good for them. He signed the bond that you and I may go free. But listen, one day He's coming back. He's coming back soon, my friend. Won't that be a glorious day? Oh, listen. Some golden daybreak, our Lord will come. I wish I could sing. I'd sing that song for you. But this is the old trailblazer. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis. Remember, my mailing address is the old trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.